This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
Yeah, Lord God, I thank you, Lord, for your grace. Lord, I thank you that you're already present through the worship, everything, Lord, that we've experienced you through the dedication. Yeah, Lord God, and I pray, Lord, that you would come and encounter us even now through your word, Lord. You know the needs of every person who is present here. Lord, we say, Spirit of Truth, we welcome you in this place. We welcome you in our hearts. We thank you, God, that you are able to transform us and meet us where we are at. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. So, as it was, Sven, you guys will remember this, but it's a good word. So I'm going to trust that the Lord will come and shift people from a place of disappointment to victory this morning. So we're going to, the title of my sermon is Disappointment with God. No Christians can relate to this, eh? We've never been disappointed with God before. Are we allowed to be disappointed with God? You see, sometimes even though God is perfect, our experience of Him, we don't see everything. His ways are higher than our ways. Sometimes we can experience things and be disappointed. It's true. I remember when I was grade nine, one of the prefects in our school, he was one of the biggest legends. He would have played SA Schools rugby. He was just one of those guys, life couldn't touch him. You know, he was onverskrokke, fearless guy. In his grade 11 exams or in his matric exams, can't remember, I think it was his matric exams, he went, just drove around the block with his motorbike, went and pumped up a rugby ball, got hit by a car, and died. And everyone in the school was completely distraught, disappointed, and angry, and wow, how does that happen? Guy in the prime of his life, this thing happened to him, and I remember a reverend came and he spoke to us at the school and he said, who of you feel angry? And no one wanted to say they're angry because we are all very ordentlik. He said, if we tell God we're angry or disappointed or not, he knows anyway. So we can tell him, we can be honest with him. We don't have to put on masks in front of God. He knows our emotions, he knows what we go through, he knows our hearts. The best place to be is to be honest with God. And Lord, I just thank you this morning, Lord, that we can be honest with you, Lord, that we do not have to put on masks when we enter your presence, when we come before you, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for honesty and emotions, Lord, even though we do not know your ways, Lord. This morning, Lord, we want to look to you. And Lord, I just pray, Lord, that you would meet people where they're at in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. So the text for this morning, it's in the book of Exodus. Many of you might know the book of Exodus. It's a book that starts with slavery. It starts with people who are entrapped, but it ends with worship. My heart is that God would come and meet people who feel enslaved this morning, that they will be liberated to worship Him. Secondly, it's a story of the powerful God who binds Himself to His people in order to save them. That is what we sang about this morning. This is our story. This is our song. It's not just theirs. It's ours. We serve a powerful God who's ordered to save us. It's a story of miracles, signs, and wonders. The God who did miracles long ago, He's still doing it today. He's alive. It's a story of oppression and suffering. That is also what we see in the world around us. And it's a story of wandering and desert experiences. Sometimes, even though God was at work right throughout the Exodus story, they experienced wandering and desert experiences. Sometimes, even though God is present, we do not necessarily experience Him to be present, but He comes and He makes us aware of His presence. So, just a bit of background of the story. It starts with a guy called Moses that God has chosen. We see God's hand on Moses' life. He was born a Hebrew, was supposed to be killed. He was saved through the basket in the river, put into the courts of Pharaoh's household. Like, he was positioned perfectly for God's plan on his life. He saw these people suffering, and then he killed an Egyptian. There was a diversion away from God's plan in his life, and he went into hiding in Midian for 40 years, and it took God to intervene again. God met him in a burning bush experience. He heard God speak to him audibly and call him into the purposes and promises of God. Now, I don't know about you, But if you look back on your life, we can see God's hand many times in the way that he's been with us. The grace that we experienced in the circumstances we were brought up, his protection, that we okay despite things that had happened to us, or just his goodness and favor where you might reap in a place where someone else had sowed, where your parents invested into your life, where you experienced provision, you see God's hand. But then even despite that, sometimes there are seasons where we turn away from his purposes and plans, but then God intervenes again, like he did with Moses. So Moses, he had a word from God that God would deliver, use him to deliver his people out of the hand of the Egyptians. That's quite a promise. So God calls him out of the burning bush. He gives him this promise through an audible voice. And what does Moses do? He didn't do a Jonah and ran as far as he possibly could. He responded in obedience. He leaves his comfort in Midian and his family and everything that he has there and the place that he settled. He sacrifices everything to obey God. And he goes and he faces the fears of his past. He could have been killed in Egypt for killing that Egyptian. He's willing to confront the hardship of Egypt again to see God move and break forth. So you would think, okay, he's got a lot of faith in his heart because he responds to the goodness of God and his word, that things will work out for him. Okay, so we're going to read from Exodus chapter 5. That's a bit of background for this story. You might sit here today and you in the past had received promises from God. You remember him speaking to you. You had a heart full of faith. And you experienced God in a powerful way. He might have came and pursued you again like Moses after you had diverted from that plan. And each one of us is at a different place. Let's see how the story continues. We all know Israel in the end, they went out of Egypt. That is the beauty of preaching to a crowd in South Africa, as we know the context of the 10 plagues and everything that had happened. But Exodus 5, afterwards, Moses and Aaron went and said to Pharaoh, this is when they obey, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, let my people go, that they may hold a feast to me in the wilderness. That is exactly the words God used to call Moses. But Pharaoh said, who is the Lord that I should obey his voice and let Israel go? Who is the Lord? Who is this God who spoke to you? I do not know the Lord. And moreover, I will not let Israel go. Then they said, the God of the Hebrews has met with us. Please let us go a 3 days' journey into the wilderness that we may sacrifice to the Lord our God, lest he fall upon us with pestilence or with a sword. So they come and they say, allow us the liberty to walk in obedience to what God had spoken. Pharaoh says, no ways. But the king of Egypt said to them, Moses and Aaron, why do you take the people away from their work? Get back to your burdens. Pharaoh said, behold, the people of the land are now many, and you make them rest from their burdens. The same day, Pharaoh commanded the taskmasters of the people and their foremen, you shall no longer give the people straw to make bricks as in the past. Let them go and gather straw for themselves. But the number of bricks that they made in the past, you shall impose on them. You shall by no means reduce it, for they are idle. Therefore they cry, let us go and offer sacrifice to our God. Let heavier work be laid on the men, that they may labor at it and pay no regard to lying words. So the taskmasters and the foremen of the people went out and said to the people, thus says Pharaoh, I will not give you straw. Go and get your straw yourselves, wherever you find it, but your work will not be reduced in the least. So the people scattered throughout the land of Egypt to gather stubble for straw. The taskmasters were urgent, saying, complete your work, your daily task each day, as when there was straw. And the foremen of the people of Israel, whom Pharaoh's taskmasters had set over them, were beaten and were asked, why have you not done all your task of making bricks and yesterday as in the past? Then the foremen of the people of Israel came and cried to Pharaoh, Why do you treat your servants like this? No straw is given to your servants, yet they say to us, make bricks, and behold, your servants are beaten, but the fault is in your own people. But he said, you are idle. You are idle? That is why you say, let us go and sacrifice to the Lord. Go now and work. No straw will be given you, but you must still deliver the same number of bricks. The foreman of the people of Israel saw that they were in trouble. When they said, you shall by no means reduce your number of bricks, your daily task each day. They met Moses and Aaron, who were waiting for them as they came out from Pharaoh. And they said to them, the Lord look on you and judge, because you have made us stink in the sight of Pharaoh and his servants, and have put a sword in their hand to kill us. So Moses obeys. He does exactly what God told him to do. And what happens? Instead of God's promise coming true, everything, there's chaos. There's chaos. And the people cry out. And it's not just him. He sacrificed his comfort. He sacrificed everything. He obeyed God. Now he's in a worse place than he was. The people who had nothing to do with that word, they're suffering because of his obedience. And he's in a horrible place. And he turned to the Lord. He said, Lord, verse 22, why have you done evil to this people? Why did you ever send me? For since I came to Pharaoh to speak in your name, he has done evil to this people, and you have not delivered your people at all. He didn't see the 10 plagues. He didn't see his people enter the promised land one day. All he experienced was God's promise not coming true. Sometimes in our lives, and this is a message people won't necessarily preach in the Western church, when we obey God, things get worse. Sometimes when we obey God, chaos erupts. From a lot of sides, not just one. Last week, we at the Freedom Encounter, on our way here, Beth vomits on my wife. That week, I tried to start my car, didn't start. A couple of things. Is it spiritual? Maybe it's natural. All I'm saying is, sometimes when we step into obedience to what God had said, chaos comes. And then what do we do? There are three things that Moses doubts. He says, why does this happen if I obey God? So he doubts the process of God. So God's process, he thinks, okay, if I obey God, God said, so if I obey, this is what's going to happen. But now this doesn't happen, so he's doubting the process. Which makes him doubt the second thing, the promise of God. Did God then really say, if this is what happened, did God really say that he will deliver his people? Didn't he mean something else? What did I miss? So he doubts the promise. He's doubting whether God is able to fulfill what he had said. And then thirdly, it comes down to the person of God. If God did not fulfill his promise, is he really who he says he is? Is he good? Job came, we heard the story of Job this morning. The only thing that Satan can do is he can bring traumatic experiences to us and experiences that allow us to doubt the goodness of God and the character of God in our lives. He's a deceiver. So in other words, he tries to deceive us so that we will not think God is who he says he is. He deceives us that we do not think we are who God says we are. In other words, we are not loved, we are not cherished, we are not the apple of God's eye. And then secondly, he comes and he lies. That's what he does. He lies to us in words, but also in experiences. But then God comes back and he speaks to Moses. How did he do that? So, can some of you relate to Moses' story this morning? I'm not the only one. All right. Verse 6 of chapter 6. But the Lord said to Moses, now you shall see what I will do to Pharaoh. For with a strong hand he will send them out, and with a strong hand he will drive them out of the land. God spoke to Moses and said to him, I am the Lord. I am the Lord. I am Yahweh. I appeared to Abram. I appeared to Isaac, to Jacob, as God Almighty. That's what I had done in the past. But by my name, the Lord, I did not make myself known to them. I also established my covenant with them to give them the land of Canaan, the land in which they lived as sojourners. Moreover, I've heard the groaning of the people of Israel, whom the Egyptians hold as slaves, and I have remembered my covenant. Say therefore to the people of Israel, I am the Lord. I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians, and I will deliver you from slavery to them. I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with great acts of judgment. I will take you to be my people, and I will be your God. You shall know that I am the Lord your God, who has brought you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. I will bring you into the land that I swore to give to Abram, to Isaac, and to Jacob, and I will give it to you for possession. I am the Lord. So Moses had three questions. The first one that I put there is God really good? That was what they had asked. Is God really good? The person of God. I'm going to throw it around. He doubted the promise. Did God really say? And thirdly, the process is, why does this happen then if God really had said this? Now I want you to think about each one of us here. There might be a situation or a circumstance or things that you might have experienced and that you doubt the goodness and the promises of God, as Moses did. Sometimes, especially as churchgoers, we don't allow ourselves to be honest with regards to these things. But often our emotions don't lie. So what happens? You might feel despondent towards God. You might feel distant and struggling to engage with God. And the reason for that might be that the emotion is telling you, but something's not lack in here. You know, our emotions doesn't lie. Those who are married here, you would know. You can try your best to put on a front with your wife and say everything's hunky-dory. She knows if there's something in you. But with God, He knows, and He doesn't just know the emotion, He knows why. And He wants to know, are you willing to trust me despite what had happened? What does God do? He goes back. He reminds Moses about what he had done in the past. He is the God who promised Abram. He is and gave him a child when he wasn't able to conceive. He is the God of Isaac. Even though he would have been sacrificed, God provided. He is the God of Jacob, who wrestled with him and blessed him. And He's the God of covenant. Covenant, what does it mean? God's covenant, even though we are unfaithful, He remains faithful to do what He had promised. And therefore, you can trust Him. So in the midst of that, God reminds him of His promise. I want to ask you, how do you see God's process in your life? What has happened the last while? If you think where you are now, how you came to this point, or in that specific area, how do you see God's processes? And do you trust the processes of God? Secondly, how do you see yourself in that area? Do you feel loved by God? Do you feel that He is good towards you? Do you feel He's close to you and He celebrates you? Or does He feel distant? Maybe you feel deserted. Some of us might feel condemned. You might think, but it's because of things that I had done that I'm experiencing this. Oftentimes when things get difficult, the beginning of this year, my wife had carpal tunnel syndrome. A while later, I was in hospital with 3 stomach ulcers and I was lying in a pile of blood on the floor. Had 2 bacterial infections after that and COVID in somewhere in between. When these things start to happen, you, at a stage, you don't just say, God, protect me. You say, God, forgive my sins. And you start from way back and you confess them again just to be safe. I had friends, they were walking on Devil's Peak and Table Mountain, and they said in the beginning the wind started coming up and they couldn't see, and they said, okay, but God, please protect us. And then later on the wind was so bad, they said, please, God, forgive our sins. They thought, we're coming, you know. But with these things, you might lie. No, God is always good. You can say, but God is always good. I trust him. But oftentimes I come in doubt and I come and look at my own responsibility and my part in what had happened. And there is definitely a human part for me. I didn't have boundaries, a lot of things when it came to the things that happened to me this year. But the thing I want to say is, you might think, but you know what? I actually deserve these circumstances. And all of those things, it's lies that the enemy comes and he brings. Did God change? Did his heart towards you change? Are you still accepted in the Beloved? Did he save you because he delighted in you? Are you hidden in Christ? Is there still no condemnation for you because you're in Christ Jesus? Are you forgiven? Are you the apple of his eye? You see, these things, it's here, but when we experience things, our emotions here might say something different. And this morning we're trusting God to make his reality, that's a cognitive reality of the word, become an experience and a reality for us in our hearts, that our hearts can be stirred with faith again to trust him fully and wholly. So God answers the person of God. He says, I am the Lord Almighty, the Sovereign One. I am in control. That is who I am, the person of God. I'm the Sovereign One. I am Yahweh. I am who I say I am. I'm the God of covenant. I'm the God of faithfulness. I'm the one who cannot lie. He reminds him about the promise. I will bring you out. I will deliver. I will redeem. And it says, you shall know. I will bring you into the promised land and I will give. But when it comes to the process, he doesn't say how. It comes back to the person of God, that he's the Lord, he's the Sovereign One. And that is challenging because that is what faith is. If Moses had known it would take 10 plagues, I wonder whether he would have obeyed. 10 plagues, 40 years, but he obeyed, and generations could tell, or thereafter could speak of God's faithfulness. Even to this day, we know the character of the God we serve because of the way in which he revealed himself to Moses. And he gave his covenant to Moses. So, in your disappointment, failure, your situation, how do you see God's person? Do you see him as the Lord Almighty, the Sovereign One who's in control? How do you see his promises? Do you have promises that you remind yourself of that God had spoken in the past? There are general promises in Scripture for every believer that is yours, that is up for grabs for you and for every other believer. Those things, they do not change. You can access them by faith in Jesus Christ. But then there are also specific promises that we trust the Lord for. This morning there were promises prophesied and prayed over Zani's life. It's something that they can hold on to when times get difficult, because the reality is times will get difficult whether you have a promise of God or not. But when you obey, you have something to stand upon in those times. If you just go by your own vices, you have nothing to stand upon in troubling times. And how do you see yourself in God's process? There's a story that my father-in-law had told. It was about a guy. He also went through hardship. I don't know all the details, but his name was Chong Wu. He was a missionary, and he met God, and he decided to go and study theology and become a missionary. But in that time, I don't know the exact details, he really had a bad experience through his circumstances, and he doubted the promises of God over his life and the person of God in the end. And what he would do is he would get drunk and pub crawl and would wish that cars would run him over. So he would be looking for trouble wherever he went. And he was so rebellious that he would throw beer over his head before he attended his classes, his theological classes, because he wanted to show God, you know what, his anger towards him. So he basically tried to destroy his life. And in the worst place where he was at, in that place where he was drunk and one night and he was smelling of alcohol that he had thrown over himself, and he was walking through the streets and he was actually cursing God. He had a vision of Jesus who came and put his hand on his shoulder and encountered him and embraced him. And that is the wonderful God that we serve. He's willing to meet us despite our disappointments, despite our response to his promises. He's after us. He initiates relationship, and he's faithful to his covenant. And I want to say to us sitting here, we serve the God who's faithful to his promises. He's not faithful just to our obedience, although he loves our obedience. But he's more than that. He's devoted and committed to his promises and his person. I'm going to end off with a New Testament example. There were guys in the New Testament, they put their entire hope in the person, the promises, and the teaching of Jesus. Then they saw their best friend being martyred on a cross by Romans. He hung naked for them to see. Everyone scattered. Everything that was beautiful in their life up to that time was destroyed within 3 days. And then rumors started coming that this Jesus, from their friends, this Jesus who they had known, rose from the grave and that he's alive. They had credible testimony that Jesus rose, that he is who he says he is, but for them it hurt too much. They couldn't go back and experience that again. And we read the story in Luke chapter 24, verse 13 to 35. It's two guys who were going to a village called Emmaus. It's 7 miles from Jerusalem. Just context, Jesus said, wait for me in Jerusalem until you receive power from on high. These guys must have known it. They decided, I'm not going to Jerusalem. Like Jonah, I'm walking away from that, which God had said. It hurt too much. Bad experience. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came and walked along with them, but they were kept from recognizing him. They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, are you the only one visiting Jerusalem who does not know the things that has happened there these days? What things? Jesus asked. About Jesus of Nazareth, they replied. He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death. They crucified him. He had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since all of this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning but didn't find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it, just as the woman had said, but they did not see Jesus. He said to them, how foolish you are, and how slow to believe all that the prophets had spoken of. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter his glory? And beginning with Moses, interestingly enough, with Moses, this very guy who was challenged to walk away, and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. He reminds them of who he are, of his faithfulness in the past, what he had done. I wonder what he had said. Perhaps he shared of him being the ultimate redeemer and deliverer. And he told them of how Jesus is the one who sets people free from death, as he did in Egypt. He's the sacrificial lamb that when the angel of death comes, it's by his blood that we are set free from death. He might have told them, but just as David had slew Goliath, he's the greater David who slew sin and death forever so that we can walk in the victory and others can walk in the victory that he had attained on the cross. He's the better Boaz, the kinsman redeemer, redeems our past and gives us an inheritance, even though it seems like all has been lost. And Jesus spoke and reminded them about his goodness throughout all the scriptures. And what was their response? As they approached the village which they were going, Jesus continued as if he were going farther. But they urged him strongly, "Stay with us, for it's nearly evening. The day is almost over." So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took the bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?" They got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. They found the 11 and those with them assembled together and saying, "It is true, the Lord has risen and appeared to Simon." Then the two told what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread. Father, I thank you that you are present, that you are present here. Lord, that just as in the past, Lord, you were faithful to reveal yourself to people whose hearts were hurting, Lord, who were despondent or perhaps disappointed because of the experiences of you. Lord, I thank you, Lord God, that you are still faithful, Lord God, that through your word, through your promises, Lord, as we look to you, that you remind us about who you are, Lord God. I pray, Lord, for hearts to burn inside of us, Lord, again, for who you are, Lord God. We thank you, Lord, even though we're disappointed, you come alongside us and you walk with us. You walk with us, Lord. I thank you that you are present here to walk with us through our valleys of disappointment, Lord. Through the times when we feel, but it doesn't make sense, the processes that we face, the disappointments that we face, Lord God. We thank you, God, that you are who you say you are. You are the sovereign one, and you are faithful, Lord God. I pray, Lord, for a real faith to arise, Lord, as we remind ourselves of who you are this morning, that you would come and bring healing. We're going to enter a time of ministry and press in for a while. Each one of you might have a different situation, but I want us just to, as a sign of faith, just stand with me. And as we worship, we thank you, Jesus, that this morning, Lord, it's about you. Lord, that we can come and we can receive from you this morning. Lord, that you are here to meet with each one of us where we are at. Lord, you know where we are at. Lord, I pray that you would come and walk alongside us, Lord, that you would come and lay your hand upon shoulders where it's necessary, Lord God, that you would come and open eyes to see you again. Holy Spirit, you are the Spirit of truth, and you remind us about everything that the Father has done and said, everything that Jesus had done and said. Lord God, I pray that you would come, Spirit of truth, and remind us about your promises this morning. Lord, I pray for those who might feel despondent, who might say, but I've tried to run this race, but every time I run, it feels like I get injured and it just brings pain, Lord. I pray, Lord, for a breakthrough. Lord, that you would let faith arise to obey and persevere this morning. Lord, we thank you for endurance, Lord. We thank you. You are the God of comfort this morning. You brings comfort. We're just going to sing a song, and I want you, just as a sign of responding to God, just fix your eyes on Jesus. We're going to sing this song over our circumstances, and then we're going to have a time of just prayer together. Amen.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.